This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Raise Your Game. When we enter the workforce, we are exposed to a whole host of issues and conflicts, and some of them crop up no matter where you work or what position you're in. So how do we address these problems? So Shankar Santir from EQTD Consulting is back in the studio with us to talk about solving common workplace woes. So we're going to go through some case studies, Shankar. Here's one. I have a couple of colleagues who I truly dislike, which makes it difficult working with them on a daily basis. I actually cringe when I'm assigned a project that involves them. How can I work around this?
Wow, this is a problem. This is a common workplace problem that many of us actually face. I've had to deal with this pretty much all through my life. There are people that I like working with and people that I don't like working with. And I only learned how to do this much older in life, to be honest. And I wish when I was actually an employee, I mean, I run my own businesses now, someone taught me this at the time. Let me give you an example. I had this problem when I was working for other people. But the moment I became my own business owner, I didn't have this problem anymore now. Let me be completely honest here. There are clients I dislike working for. There are clients that I want to run a mile away, but I still do it. I still go and do it. Do you know why?
Why?
Because I need to pay salaries at the end of this month. Because I need to take my holiday. I need to go back and visit my wife's family in Austria. Okay. I need to go and watch my favorite Manchester United Football Club play at Old Trafford. I think when you get connected to why you do what you do, you make a choice of whether you have a restrictive or a contracting mind or an expansive mind.
Right.
And I think this is the deal.
Okay.
Working with people that you dislike. Right. Stephen Covey, when he talked about the first habit, which is be proactive, he said, we need to understand the language of the mind. So I come up to you and say, Frida, I'm going to put you in this group with A, B, and C, right? And we're going to do this new project. And immediately, I might be your boss and you have no recompense to tell me, no, I don't want to do that. Or you might have mastered the art of not having an open face. Is that where I know that you are really upset about it?
Poker.
So you have a poker face. But in your head or in your mind, immediately, your mind either expands or contracts.
Okay.
So when it contracts, it says like, oh my God, I hate this guy. I don't want to work with this person. Oh, and you remember and you think of every problem you've ever had with them and how complex and difficult it's going to be. Now, the opposite of a contracting mind is an expansive mind, mind that opens up. Now, I'm not asking you to be hokey and cliched and say like, oh, you know, rah-rah yourself up, thigh slap and say, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. No, that's not going to work because you're not going to be able to do it. That kind of false motivation doesn't help. Real motivation is education. Real motivation is understanding, having epiphany. Like, I know, you just told me that and I go, oh, I'm not immediately going to like this person, right? But I know what I need to do in order to function within this group. Why do I need to know or why do I need to function within this particular group? Because this is important for my overall purpose drive. Being in this group or being in this project team is important for me.
Right.
So if you are connected with your own personal purpose or your career purpose and you understand why you even come to work in this place, in this organization to start off with, then you will find that this is a minor irritation. Nobody's asking you to become best friends with that person. And you will never be best friends with that person.
Someone gave me this visual image before, you know, when you think of a problem and you think this big rock in front of you and you can't see because of the rock, right? Think of getting on top of the rock. And then you see, you know, your favorite team playing at Old Trafford. And then you see what's the bigger reason. And so I guess that's your that purpose and the expansive mind.
And that purpose is the one that will help you climb that rock. Because when you reach that rock, often for all of us who've got difficulties with other people, that other person is that big rock. And the rock is like Mount Everest. And it's so much energy and effort for us to climb. Anyone who does any form of exercise will tell you, if you're going for a run in the morning, if you're doing abseiling, if you are doing a marathon, or whatever, you first need to get your head space correct before you can actually do the run. Correct? I mean, you run. You do marathons. You do half marathons and full marathons and so on and so forth. You travel around the world doing this. You know that the first and most important thing is to get your head space right.
Yeah.
The moment you get your head space right, your body might not necessarily work according to your head space.
Actually, the head isn't working. Just do it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
But you see, the idea of just do it.
Right.
Is a non-negotiable trap that you put in your head and said, I'm going to do it.
Right.
And that's it. Mm. Right. So which means that's the expansive mind. So when you and why do you say I'm going to do it?
Because when I'm exercising, I'm thinking bikini, bikini, bikini.
So that is a purpose drive. So your purpose drive for exercising, Frida, is bikini, bikini, bikini. And how lucky we are that you're actually doing this. You know what I'm saying? So that is that. So your bikini purpose drive is so strong.
Yeah.
It's so compelling.
Mm.
You know, and you're so vested in it. And that's what I tell people. When you dislike someone, go back to why you're doing what you're doing at the company. Ask yourself whether you're vested. Ask yourself whether it's a compelling reason for you to be there. And if you can't answer those questions and you keep fighting at the people around you that you dislike, find another job.
Right. Okay. Second case study here. Two of my colleagues are called superstars in the office, but I feel that most of the credit goes to them as they are the ones that close deals and not to our whole team as we all work hard to ensure company success. How do I ensure my team and I receive an acknowledgement of our contributions too?
This is an interesting question. We live in an unfair world to start off with. Right. Let's accept that. That is why some people drive BMWs and Mercedes and other people drive smaller cars. And it is not that the person who's driving the BMW has got so much more skill or is luckier than you, etc., etc. It's essentially they've been at the right place at the right time and they've leveraged on a particular skill that they have. So in an organization, often you will find people who are revenue generators and people who are cost centers. And I always tell everyone, I go back to analogies like football. Now, the person who is most well-known in a football team is the player who scores the goals all the time, right? So they become your superstar. They become your Cristiano Ronaldos and your Lionel Messis. That's why they get paid more than other people. Your Paul Pogba's get paid more than your Philip Coutinho's get paid more than other people, right? It's simply because they score the goals. But none of them will be in winning teams if the defense leaks goals all the time. Or let's go even further. None of them will even be there if the grounds people don't keep the stadium, the grass cut at a particular length or water. Then the people who do the practice runs before, the people who carry all the equipment in and out, the people, the kit person, the kit man, as they're called, and I'm trying to be all politically correct here, but it's usually a man, a kit man who prepares your jerseys to make sure that you look fantastic when you come out, you know, the person who gives you your halftime oranges or Lucozade or whatever they drink in between, the person who prepares the pasta meal 3 hours before you get on to the pitch.
Right.
All these people have a role. But why is it that one person gets paid more than everyone else? It is a collective team effort.
Right.
You don't get upset.
Right.
You don't look at an organizer, at a football club and go, you know what? I think every player should get paid the same amount of money as Cristiano Ronaldo. You don't.
Yeah.
Right. It's the same in the office.
Mm.
It's the same in the office. There are some people who are star players simply because they fulfill a particular role.
Right.
And sometimes that fulfillment of role comes through experience. So sometimes you'll find older people getting paid more because they've been in that organization longer. Sometimes you will also find that people who did really well at one stage in the company's trajectory may not be doing as well today, but they still get paid a lot of money because people, they have paid it forward already. They've done the job for that company at that particular time. So understand internal equity in an organization. Everybody needs to understand internal equity. Now, for example, if you feel that your contributions are undervalued, what are you going to do about it?
Right. Either be move up and
three things only. Okay. Three things only. If you feel your contributions are undervalued, first thing is negotiate. Turn up to the decision maker or makers in your organization and say, listen, I have a problem with this. I have a problem because I feel that my contribution is not being recognized commensurately. Right. And you can never go and sit on a negotiating table unless you have something to bring with you. So if your track record is you're just underling who kind of coasts below the radar and just does whatever he or she is told to do, when you turn up to negotiate, your boss is going to say like, no. Frida's getting paid more simply because she does more for me. There's greater value for me. My perception is that. So first is you negotiate. Now, if you succeed with the negotiation, fantastic. You'll be happy. You won't be writing this note to us saying that, you know, what can I do? Or how can I get better? Or how can I make it better for myself? But what happens if you fail in that negotiation? If you fail in the negotiation, understand that your perceived value is that. That's why people are paying you that much money.
Okay.
That's why people are giving you that kind of, you know, benefits, because that's your perceived value. Help people understand that your value is higher.
Right.
And the only way you can help people understand that your value is higher is by producing better results or getting noticed for all the right reasons. and having a pemikiran yang waras in Malay, they say, you know, you have a certain amount of self-awareness of where your strengths are, leverage on your strengths, make sure that the people who make the perceptive decision on how much they should pay you look at you and go, you have great value. Your entire business on a daily basis is to increase your own personal value by showing people that you are valuable. And if you cannot show people you're valuable, don't sit and whine. Why should anyone care?
Right. Is that the second thing?
Well, that's the esoterical question that I'm asking everyone. Why should anyone care whether you get paid more or not? Mm. I mean, I don't care. You know what I mean? You should care. Right? And you should take the right steps to do that. So the first thing is you go and you negotiate. If you get what you want, fantastic. If you don't get what you want, you have two options.
Right.
One is the second option is you stay in that company. Right, you stay in that company, but it's important that you shut up and stay. You don't stay there and whine and moan and cringe and whinge and, you know, become this demoralizing factor. And why should you stay in a company? Because you're not sure what your value is outside yet.
Mm.
Or you should stay in that company because you feel, even though you're not getting paid how much you want to get paid, or you don't think you're getting what you're worth, you still feel that you can learn a lot from this organization, and you still connect yourself to a particular leader who's going to teach you things. This is the only reason why you should stay. Now, if you don't get those two, then take the third option. Go. Leave the company and go somewhere else where people will value you for your worth.
Very true. And we'll talk about other case studies after this. I'm here with Shankar Sanjay from EQTD Consulting, solving common workplace woes. You're listening to Race Again, BFM 89.9.
Beyond frivolous matters, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. If you've just joined us, it's Raise Your Game. I'm here with Shankar Santir from EQTD Consulting. He is back. We're talking about solving common workplace woes. We're going through some case studies. Now, we're going to go through our third case study here. I am a business owner, and I find that my sales team does not meet their KPIs, with our customers not responding well to them. However, internally, I can see that they're putting in their best effort, and their inability to meet their goals aren't for lack of trying. How can I help my team get better results?
Your role always as a leader of a group of people is to analyze what their performance is for, right? So are you paying people for work product, or are you paying people for results? So sometimes we pay people for work product, right? Which means work in progress. We do a lot of background work. We do a lot of cost center work, as I call it, which means preparation, prep work, getting things organized, creating marketing collaterals, researching and training and getting yourself organized. So enough effort. That becomes a high value task at one stage in the trajectory of a sales organization, the prep work that needs to be done. Right? Then that prep work must be very clear. Whatever prep work that you do must lead to closing of deals, must lead to closure. This is where a lot of organizations fail. A tremendous amount of prep work is done, but the prep work is all self-gratification. It's all shocks niri. So my first, if I had the person who wrote this case study to us, I would ask the person, what do you mean by saying that you think that they are putting their best effort in? So are they doing the prescribed prep work, right?
Or
are they doing prep work which is actually going to close deals? So it's up to you to make that decision. That's where your worth comes in as the leader of the organization, as the person who's actually created. So you need to analyze what people are doing. And sometimes it's not that they are, they're incompetent. Sometimes you have just given them the wrong kind of, you know, direction. And you start by questioning yourself first. If you already think that they're trying very hard, you see, attitude is something which cannot be learned. Attitude is something that comes from within. So if they have the right attitude, meaning you saying it's not for the lack of trying, that means they are willing to try. Now, that itself should buoy you a little bit. Mm. Your big problem is if you have a group of people who don't do what you ask them to do and don't produce results. So right now, it seems like you have people who actually do what you ask them to do. They just can't close the deal. So then go back and go and ask yourself, am I asking them to do the right thing?
Right.
You know, and we have people, talk to Jeevan Sahadevan, talk to people like this who will teach you how to sell and give you the 10 steps and that you need to follow, the turnkey systems, right? Come to me if you want me to help you get the mindset right and get the people to understand why and get connected to what Jeevan asks them to do, for example. You know, and that's what you need to do. So I think you have to invest a little bit of time and ask yourself whether you know what you want from your team or not.
And whether you're asking them to do the right thing.
Absolutely. I think that's the big question.
Okay. So this is another case study, the final one. Every day I go to work and I feel uninspired. I can't seem to be in the right frame of mind to be energized. And while my side tasks are technically important, I don't see the value in what I'm doing. How can I find inspiration in work that doesn't have value to me?
You can't find inspiration from anywhere else.
But within.
I sound like Yoda at the moment. Inspiration comes from within.
From within inspiration comes.
From within inspiration comes. That's right. Obviously, I'm not a Star Wars fan. This is a perennial question for everyone. This is what I wrote about last week in my column for Valentine's Day. Do you love? If you love something, you'll go, you'll do it. Mm-hmm. You'll be inspired to do it. Listen, all of us have bad mood days. Mm. Okay? We have bad mood days, and that's why I have a little slush fund called my Bad Mood Day Fund. Mm. My Bad Mood Day Fund is when I take money and do stupid things.
Okay.
I won't tell you what they are, but essentially I waste that money. But I have a threshold. I know that I will not spend more than X amount. It's like going to a casino.
Okay.
For example, anyone who goes to a casino, my only advice to you is leave your credit cards, leave your wallets, leave everything back at home and just carry the amount of money you're willing to lose that evening.
Okay.
Or that day. Right? So if you want to lose $100, just take 100. If you finish, stretch it longer. If you finish faster, get out. Do not go and take any money out. Do not give yourself that option. Now, that's the same with feelings. Right? First, analyze your feelings. Why do I feel so disjointed, empowered coming to this particular organization to work? Why? The holy grail for all of us is to get jobs that we enjoy doing. But the only jobs that we enjoy doing are the ones that resonate with us. If you are only working for money, you will not enjoy your time at work. If you're only working for money. And if you're working out of fear of lack of money, that will also not help you in any way, because all you're doing is just scrambling on a daily basis. You get there, you do what you need to do. Nothing inspires you there. You're doing it because you need to pay your rent. Hmm. All of us need to pay our rent. We know this. But the people who pay their rent happily are the ones that have actually done something useful that month. Hmm. Right? So go back to your purpose drive. Go back and analyze and ask yourself why. Simon Sinek did something called the Golden Circle. Hmm. In 2009, he introduced it. And he wrote a book about it. And the Golden Circle is essentially all of us think outside in. Mm. Right? And I agree with him completely on this point. You know, we think outside in. See, what do you do, Frida Liu? I am a radio producer and a host. How do you do it? What is your unique selling perspective and point? Oh, I do it really well. I've got phenomenal experience. I've got a great voice. I know how to ask insightful questions to my interviewees, and therefore I produce phenomenal results for myself and my station. You can explain that. Why do you do what you do, Frida Liu? I don't know. Yeah? And most of us fudge the why. We don't get it. Whereas the people who are most successful as individuals, the corporations that are most successful, flip that entire linguistic process on its head and start off with the why. And Simon Sinek gives the explanation in 2009 of Apple. In the last 10 years, Apple has its luster has perhaps lost
sheen.
Sheen has gone down a little bit, but nevertheless, today Apple is a computer company. Essentially, it was a computer company and is a computer company. But you're absolutely comfortable buying an iPad, an iPhone, a hearing device, et cetera, from a computer company. How many of us walk around with Dell mobile phones?
Okay.
To be honest, I'm just casting my mind right now. I don't think I've ever seen one. We have to ask Jeff Thunder whether it's there. But they have access to the same technology. They have access to the same pool of talent, but they don't produce it. Why? Because their marketing strategy, the language that they put out, is that we're a computer company.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Apple's language is not that we're a computer company. We are at the cutting edge of technology. We challenge the status quo. Everything that we do to be innovative. And then how do we do it? Oh, we sell iPads, blah, 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 that are user-friendly and a great interface. Would you like to buy one? So they flip it around.
Right.
They start with the why. And you will continue to dislike your job if you don't flip. Because this person has asked this question. Every day I go to work. If I ask them, what do you do? Easy, they'll explain it to me. If I ask them, how do they do it? They will tell you what their USP is right away. What's unique about what I do? Why do you do it? I don't know. I need the money. money is, you don't work for money. Money is an ensuing byproduct of what you do. Mm. You know? So I think if you want to feel better about going to work, flip the question around and ask yourself why I'm doing what I'm doing. That will give you the answers. That will actually help you. Workshop with yourself, give you the answers. Write to me, shankar@eqtd.com, and ask me, and I'll take you through a series of questions that you can ask yourself that will unravel why you do what you do.
Right.
And then that'll also put you in a position to make a decision. Do I want to continue doing this?
Hmm.
Or, and sometimes, you know, all you need is a cutoff point. You say, I'm going to do this for 2 more years. And then you put an arbitrary date and say, June 20th, 2020, I'm going to stop and I'm going to move to this. That will immediately make you feel $1 million because right. you have something in front of you to aim for. A dearth of hope is the biggest problem that most of us have at work. You go to work, you're living a hopeless life. Hopeless, you know, there's no hope.
Yeah.
So you just calm, you do what you do. You can't see the end of the light at the end of the tunnel. And you just go like, hello, this is my life. Look. And then so you become whiny. You don't become a great partner. You become a terrible parent. You become a terrible spouse simply because you're upset all right. the time. Why do you want to live like that? Turn it around. Flip it over.
And ask the right questions.
Ask the right questions.
Right. Shankar Santharam from EQTD Consulting. He'll be back next month. If you have any questions for him, as he mentioned, he's given his email, or you can send to enterprise@bfm.my. Look forward to seeing you again next month. You've been listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.